You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio and Holistic Health News, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Holistic Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Today, we're going to do another episode on intergender dynamics because, as you know, I find this topic to be fascinating, and we're going to talk about foodie calls. Now, many of you might not know what that term means, but all of you who've been on dates, both men and women, have experienced this awkward tension as to who's going to pay. And look, many of you women who've dated a lot of beta simp types, you probably never had to deal with that awkward tension because they always paid for you. And you're like, yeah, that's right. It's your job to pay for me. But is it? Is it really? So we're going to glean off the ABC News article here. Women who make foodie calls are more likely to have psychopathic behavior. Ooh, that's so clickbaity. I had to click on it, right? Ever been on a foodie call? More than a third of women who go on male-female dates have, according to a new study, and for the record, they're referring to a dinner date that's strictly to score a free meal and not about making a romantic connection. Third of a woman, what, I think this is more like 70% of women have got on foodie calls. In their whole life? Jesus, probably 100%. So a foodie call is when you go out on a date. Let's say you meet somebody on Bumble, Tinder, you know, or heaven forbid, the antiquated old-fashioned way we used to meet people at the gym or at the grocery store. And typically the woman has absolutely no interest in the guy, but it's like, yeah, well, I'm hungry or I'm in the mood for Thai or surf and turf. So yeah, I'll give this guy the impression I'm into him. You know, bat my eyelashes, play with my hair, all the nonverbal cues that women give. If you're not familiar with nonverbal cues, boys and men, the classic nonverbal cues that a woman is into you. She plays with her hair. She plays with her lips. She looks at your lips. She giggles a lot. She looks for ways to touch you in an inappropriate manner, but touch you like on your shoulder. She'll laugh a lot of your jokes. These are all classic signs that she's into you. So a lot of women are just wired to already know this. And so they start feigning this behavior to get the guy. And the guy's like, hey, you want to go on? She's like, score. Foodie call time. Quote, dining out is expensive, close quote, notes Dr. Brian Collison and Jennifer Howell, the authors of a new study analyzing foodie call behaviors that was just published in the journal Social, Psychological, and Personality Science. In their surveys of more than 1,000 women, Collison and Howell found that more than a third of respondents had gone on foodie calls. Yeah, again, it's more like 80%. On average, women who had gone on foodie calls had done so about five times. It's more like 500 times. But some had gone over 200 dates with no romantic interest. I mean, look, honestly, a woman who has no empathy or remorse about going on dates like this with a guy or a slew of guys, a slew of suitors. I mean, theoretically, she could go on foodie call dates pretty much five nights a week, you know, just lining up different men she finds on Match and just having them pay for everything and give that guy the illusion that she's interested, the illusion that she might want to do something with him later on to get that date. So, I mean, it's somewhat insidious. The study focused on women who regularly go on foodie calls, a term that's a play on booty call, a common term for a hookup in male-female dates. Now, doing research for this, I learned that homosexual or lesbian or transgender couples, they actually have a much, much higher rate of admitted foodie calls. I have no idea why, but a foodie call might be about more than simply getting a meal paid for by a clueless beau. i.e. mangina, soy boy, beta simp, whatever real word you want to put in there. According to the study, the women most likely to go on a foodie call tended to be shocking, more self-involved, and manipulative, and lack empathy for other people. Ooh, lack empathy, manipulative. This sounds like classic cluster B personality disorders. Specifically, researchers said, repeat offenders exhibited the dark triad, that's in quotes, which they said included such traits as psychopathy, narcissism, oh, shock, and Machiavellianism. Well, of course. I mean, I think if a woman is pathologically going out on foodie calls and it is an inveterate foodie caller, I mean, clearly she doesn't care about the guy. She doesn't care about the money that this guy is spending on her. And I think not only with these kind of narcissistic women, but I think with women in general, they don't really think about it. I think they just think, well, you know, this is the way traditional dating has been, so I might as well take advantage of this. And, you know, if there's a spark, there's a spark, and maybe I'll pull out my wallet slowly the next time. But if not, you know, I got this meal, and I can just tell them that there was no spark. Now, I'm sure some of you women listening right now probably feel that way, but we'll cover that at the end. The more of these kinds of personality traits the woman had, the more likely they were to have gone on foodie calls and felt completely okay about their behavior. Because, of course, we humans can rationalize all bad behavior, right? We can justify everything. Other women making foodie calls were those who believed strongly in traditional gender roles and expected the man to pay for the date. Interesting on the traditional gender roles. Look, I think in general, men and women like traditional gender roles, despite what radical feminism and cultural Marxism tells you. Men like feminine women who love children and rearing children, and women like masculine, confident men who want to provide and support, right? It satisfies their hypergamy. So I think that's right. But I would say that women can play both sides on the traditional gender role thing, because they could say, oh, it's a gentleman's job, it's chivalrous to pay for the woman. But then if the man says something, well, you know, you should put out on this date since I'm paying $200 for this concert and this dinner, or even say something like, I believe a woman's place is at home, and if she's been infected by the feministic virus, and she'd be like, oh my God, that is so toxic masculinity, that is so misogynistic, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, women can play it both ways when it comes to the paycheck, because as I'll mention at the end, look, no one wants to pay, right? No one wants to pay. But what's the right thing to do? We'll talk about that at the end. Relationship and sex expert Dr. Tiffany Davis Henry, hyphenated last name, radical feminist probably, said that this study didn't account for women who may be living paycheck to paycheck and someone is treating them to a meal, or women who might be taking a romantic risk and possibly dating outside their type, among others. Come on, those are all excuses. Women want free meals. I mean, men would want free meals too. Henry encourages building a healthy dynamic after the first date, recommending pacing yourself with your potential mate, not allowing yourself to be used, men, and confronting behaviors of serial foodie callers. Definitely just call them on it, right? Quote, if you feel being used is being done repeatedly, you don't have to do it repeatedly, close quote, she said, noting that daters should find healthy ways to reciprocate, such as paying for their next meal or the movies. Notice how she doesn't say healthy ways to reciprocate is putting out, right? Because that was the traditional norms, right? Three dates, two dates, hell, with promiscuity, as we've talked about on that episode three, four episodes back. I mean, men really don't have to put in time. Not anymore in this kind of this debauched, morally depraved society we live in now to get sex. But in the old days, in the old days, even when I was growing up, you know, you had to put in your time, a month, 5 months, 6 months to get sex, right? But the good ancillary benefit was you got to get to know the person to see if they were crazy or had any red flags. But nowadays, I mean, come on, Tinder, Grindr, I mean, these are all hookup apps. You could be having sex on the first date, right? So I'm glad she didn't say healthy ways reciprocate would be putting out, but I think that's the expectation. We'll talk about that at the end. When a man pays, there is some sort of expectation on many men's minds that if I'm putting out this money, you have to put out something. And I think this is problematic. And if women, if you want to avoid this conundrum, this dilemma that you're in, split the bill, right? Split the bill. Quote, someone who's truly interested will take what you say to heart. If someone takes advantage of you, it's time to go. Close quote. And I agree. All right, let's finish up. Okay, so here's my take on all this. And of course, women, you're probably not going to be happy because I think some of you listen to my episodes on intergender dynamics and dating and all that, and you think, oh, Gray Area's misogynistic. I am not misogynistic at all. How do I feel about foodie calls? Personally, I have, of course, experienced this. Every man has, especially when you're young and in your 20s or even in high school, right? You don't know any better. You just think that's the way it should be. And like, traditionally, 30, 40, 50, certainly 100 years ago, women were not working. And so it was chivalrous and expected that given the man was the only one who was working, that he pay for the meal. But nowadays, women work. Many times women are making more money than men. Women, we know, are getting more degrees than men, more medical degrees, law degrees, bachelor's degrees, graduate degrees, every degree. So in 20, 30 years, it's going to be like Wicker Man, that classic Nicolas Cage movie where all the men are just workers in the field. And then the women run everything. It's a matriarchy on this island. And then the men get called in to have sex with their, you know, they had to wear hoods. And it's that's the only way to breed and keep the society going. But pretty soon in 20, 30 years, it's going to be like Wicker Man where the women are in the positions of power and wealth. It's just a matter of time because boys are falling behind. And we've talked about that in previous episodes. But either way, today, there is really no reason not to be either splitting the bill or alternating the bill. And this is the argument, and you'll definitely hear this in the red pill MGTOW community. And you're not going to hear this argument for the beta simps because the beta simps believe that they need to please the woman by paying for the bill. But what they don't realize is that subconsciously, and almost all of you women who are listening to this are not going to admit this, but subconsciously, you actually respect the man less because by the man paying, it is a form of a shit test. And the man just failed because he's essentially saying that his money is less important than your money. Now, you might be like, well, Gregory, that's good. That's the way it should be. No, that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be at all. Hear me out. My belief is no man should be paying for a woman's time. It should be mutual. You should both be wanting to spend time with the other person, having a meal or maybe doing coffee if you want to do that at the beginning. That's fine. That's certainly a better first date or first encounter than something elaborate and expensive. But no one should be paying for each other's time. Okay, you should want to be with each other. And what happens is essentially when a man pays, he's sending a couple of messages. First of all, he's saying, I'm paying for your time, almost like a quasi-prostitute kind of motif there. Secondly, he's saying, my money is not as important as your money. That sets a really bad precedent. Now, some of you women will be like, well, look, I spend a lot of money on manicures, pedicures, makeup to get ready for this date. Okay, well, that's your choice, ladies. No man is telling you to do that. And honestly, if you talk to most men will tell you that they like women who wear little makeup. They don't want you wearing red lipstick and looking like a tramp. Remember, men, we've talked about this in previous episodes, are wired intrinsically to look for virtue. Virtue. So if you're wearing some super tight mini dress with red lipstick, you're not looking too virtuous. So there is a way to dress up pretty and nice and still look virtuous. So that's kind of a flimsy excuse. And mani-pedis, look, guys aren't looking at your feet. Guys don't care about your feet. Guys don't even care about your hands. On a date, a guy's not like, okay, Let me see. Okay, they're going to be looking for your ring finger to make sure you're not married, especially if you meet somebody in public, right? An encounter at a grocery store. That's the only reason they're looking at your hands. No one's looking at your finger like, oh, I'm not going to have sex with this woman because she didn't have a manicure or a pedicure. Please, women. It's just like women get all insecure about like their breast or their body right before they have sex with a man. Look, the last thing on a man's mind is criticizing your body right before he might have sex with you. The man's just like, oh, I'm going to have sex. Oh, my God. Oh. So, like, you women are way, way too analytical and way too self-critical and casting aspersions on your own body when you don't need to. So, look, don't use that excuse, oh, I got to pay for all these clothes. You choose to pay for those clothes and to dress up. And we all know that women dress up to impress other women, to keep up with the Joneses with other women. It's not for the men. Men don't really care what you wear. They don't care at all. So here's my take. Look, if you go on a date, and let's say you're a guy, and the guy says at the beginning, we're gonna split this check with the waitress. If the woman is offended, then that kind of gives you an idea that she might be on a foodie call. Or if she's offended, she needs to kind of step back and think that if the guy said on the first date, look, if I'm paying for this, I expect you to have sex with me tonight, she would be offended, right? How dare you, the audacity, blah, 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 blah. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So if you're a woman who gets angry when the guy asks to split the bill, I would tell you to retrospect. I would tell you to introspect and ruminate and think about, like, why am I being offended by this? I have the money to pay for the date. I should pay for the date. It's the right, equal, fair thing to do. Because, look, when you split the bill or you take turns paying for the bill, then the message you're sending is, the women, you're sending a message is, I respect your time. I respect your money as much as I respect my time and my money, and I don't want to give the impression that I'm using you, just like you don't want the man to have the impression that you're going to sleep with him on the first date. So this is the way dates should go. And personally, when I go out on dates, it depends. It depends. Sometimes I'll say at the beginning, we're going to split this bill. You know, and it's kind of a shit test. It's a litmus test to see how they respond. If they don't respond well, you know, I'll give them a little time to kind of analyze it. Because so many women go out with these beta simps who just like roll out the Sir Walter Raleigh, you know, coat onto the puddle on the ground. And so they're not used to that. It's for a guy to actually stand up for himself that, you know, I'll give them a little time. But if they're angry about it, then I'm not going to see them again. Now, for you women who are like, oh, yeah. So he can pay for the first meal. I'll pay for the second meal. And you know there's no intention of a second meal. Shame on you, because you are a narcissist and you're just going on these dates to get your vampire narcissistic supply. That's all you're doing. You are one of those women, as mentioned in the dark triad, where you have no empathy. You don't care about this guy. And you're like, oh, Gregory, but you know, he makes 6 times more money than me. I don't think it really matters. I don't think it really matters, because it goes back to respect of time, and no one should be paying for somebody's time and the undue burden and onus that is put on the date. When the man pays, there is that expectation. So I do think it's funny, though, because like a woman might go into a date be like, oh, this is a nice place. I'm going to ask for a bottle of wine. I'm going to get the surf and turf. And then when the guy, the alpha guy, lays down the, we're splitting the bills, and when it's her time to order, she's like, I'll get the side salad and a glass of water. And that in itself tells you that on a deep level, she's using the date, maybe not as a foodie call per se, but as an advantage, as a way to get a nice meal. So look, I know a lot of you women might not agree with what I'm saying. You know, you can message me on Instagram or on the Facebook page. But I think if you step back and you realize that this is a complete antiquated double standard for the man to pay for every meal, every concert, every show, every trip. And look, I know women, they'll by all means, they'll let the man do all this, right? I mean, there are women who don't have to pay for trips and concerts and dinners or anything because their boyfriend continues to pay for everything. And then the boyfriend will be telling his friends, yeah, I got a lot, $700 a month to, you know, to maintain Tiffany or whatever it is. And of course, the woman doesn't care because she's entitled. It's that Disney mentality that a lot of women have inculcated into their head at a very young age, that they're entitled for the man to pay for all these concerts and trips and dinners and da-da-da-da-da. No. Step back, women, and do what's right and just and split the bill. And if you don't want to split the bill, like I've had occasions where I tell a woman ahead of time, hey, we're splitting the bill, and then they come up with the, oh, I'm working, or they have the flake-out excuse. Look, more power to you. You failed the shit test. I don't really want to have anything to do with you. If a woman has a major problem with splitting the bill, that is a red flag. That is a red flag that she just uses men. She's trying to use me, and I am not one to be used. So split the bill. That is the fair thing to do. There's no pressure on the date then for the woman to have to put out. And look, I know women, you know, when the bill comes, especially if the guy hasn't articulated it ahead of time, you'll slowly pull out your purse, right? Or you'll go to the bathroom, right, when you know the bill's coming. Or you'll slowly pull out the purse, really slowly. And then I'll be like, I got this. And you'll be like, no, I got this. And you're like, okay. You know, it's all a ruse, right? It's all a ruse. How refreshing would it be if you just told the guy the first date or the third date, it's like, hey, we're splitting this bill. I know it's an affront to your masculinity for me to pay, but it's okay. This is the right thing to do in the long run. The man's going to be like, wow. Now, if it's a guy like, I need to pay all the time, blah, 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 then he's got some innate insecurities and some faulty wiring going on if he can't allow a woman to pay. But again, you don't have to agree with what I'm saying. If you don't like what I'm saying about intergender dynamics, that's fine. Just don't listen to my podcast. I can talk about whatever I want. I'd like to talk about this. So speaking of, the website is Naturopathic Earth. Go check out all the articles that I write there. We have a lot on toxins in the food, natural ways to treat kidney stones and diarrhea and all these things. We have all those naturopathic articles there. We have a lot of food articles, essential oil recipes, and so forth. If you like what you hear, maybe not today, but if you like the other episodes, please consider donating to our Patreon account. Click on the link on the episode note to donate one time or a monthly amount, $5, $10, $20 a month. It goes a long way into defraying the cost of this enterprise. You can also support us through my Clarity account. Click on the link on the episode notes. If you want any one-on-one coaching with me to talk about weight management or learning about toxins in the food, or if you just want to ream me out because you totally don't agree with what I'm saying, it's only $1 a minute. You can afford that, right? Because you're saving all this money by having men pay on your dates. The other way you can support us is clicking on the Amazon links on the recipe articles. Anything that you buy on Amazon through that link within 24 hours, and it can be anything, dresses, makeup, whatever, we get 2% commission and no expense to you at all. They don't raise the prices to adjust for it. So that's another way you can support us. Also, you can hire me. I am a paleo-inspired holistic health coach. If you want me to come with you to the grocery store or to your house to purge out your pantry and help you buy clean stuff, or if you want a guru to help you with weight loss and weight management, you can hire me. Lastly, hit the subscribe button. It takes you 2 seconds. It helps me on my rankings. And post a review for Holistic Health News, Confessions of an Obese Child, and the Essential Oils and Herbal Apothecary. You know, we are cranking out episodes to almost like twice a week now. So listen to all those and post a review, an honest one. I'd appreciate that. All right, guys, until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Holistic Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Holistic News Now and at our Facebook page at Naturopathic Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Buy the Confessions of an Obese Child ebook on Amazon or Barnes & Noble Nook. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this. And remember, the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music courtesy of Nine Inch Nails.